cuts to Medicaid. That is probably the biggest concern coming from lawmakers, not just here in Connecticut, but across the country. But specifically here in our state, we are certainly hearing it from our majority party. That includes Governor Lamont, as well as our lawmakers who represent us in Washington. Joining us right now is Congressman Jim Himes. And Congressman, thank you for joining us. I wanted to talk about what specifically this means for Connecticut residents and those who do rely on Medicaid.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Melissa, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Because, the cuts to people's health insurance here are going to be what I think most immediately hit our communities in some pretty tragic way. And I mean, let's start with the big picture. The, nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office and other entities are estimating that the bill which passed last week is going to throw about 17 million Americans off of their health insurance. Now, that happens in two ways. Medicaid cuts, and two, the bill did not re-up the subsidies, which people who get their health insurance on the Affordable Care Act exchanges often need because they don't make enough money to pay the full freight. So if you think about 17 million people off of health insurance, which again is not a Democratic number, that's the experts looking at this thing. What that means is that you've got folks turning up in hospitals and emergency rooms, doing what the hospitals call uncompensated care. They just turn up and they've got no ability to pay for it. So what does that do? That puts huge pressure on those hospitals and health clinics. We're already starting to see clinics in the area, a couple of them in Maine, a bunch of them in Pennsylvania, saying that they're going to need to shut down. It's sort of a lose-lose because this bill is doing nothing to reduce the deficit. In fact, it increases the debt by $3 trillion. But these cuts to Medicaid and to insurance and to, we haven't talked about food stamps, are all being made in the service of maintaining tax cuts for the very wealthiest people in this country. And the number happens to be about the same. The cuts to Medicaid and health insurance and food assistance, about $1.3 trillion. That's about the amount of money that is going to tax cuts for the top 10% or so of the American population. So, you can look at this bill from a fairness standpoint, which is I call it sort of a reverse Robin Hood, taken from less fortunate people and given it to wealthy people. Or you can just look at it and say, my goodness, we're going to wind up with a lot of Americans who are sicker and have less access to health care than they did before the passage of this bill.
As you can imagine, Congressman Himes, being a journalist in 2025 is no walk in the park to try and find anything that's not politically trying to get you go down one rabbit hole over another. First of all, the cuts to Medicaid, my understanding is that's going to be over a 10-year period, correct?
Well, they kick in, interestingly enough, and you might ask yourself why this is true, they kick in just on the other side of the 2026 election. So, yes, there is a delay. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be effects, right, because your hospitals and your community health centers are looking at what's likely to happen 2 years from now and are already starting to say, hey, we might need to shut down. We might need to not, have hiring freezes and that sort of thing. But, yes, you're right. They begin to kick in on the other side of the midterm election. And, again, ask yourself why it's set up that way. But then they kick in, right? That's when those subsidies and those cuts are made.
Okay. And when I was reading this, too, it's about $100 billion a year that we're seeing the cuts. Do I have that correct?
That's roughly correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
My understanding is we usually spend well over $800 billion a year on Medicaid expenses in America.
That's also roughly correct. Yeah. And I think the thing to focus on, and I hear you on, where you get your information. We live in this world where, particularly if you go online on social media, you're going to see a lot of garbage. But think about that $17 million people figure,
yeah.
Right? That's understandable to people. And look, you don't even need to take it from a Democrat, right? Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina made a long floor speech and voted against this bill because he said it would be devastating for the people of North Carolina who were going to lose their health insurance. Susan Collins of Maine voted against the bill. Brian Fitzpatrick, there was actually bipartisan opposition for precisely this reason.
Yeah.
Those 17 million Americans who are going to lose their health insurance and really not have access to decent health care.
Then why would it pass? if it's going to really devastate so many people, like, to me, that there has to be an end goal here. Fairfield County is always presumed to be, you know, one of the richest counties in the country, when in actuality, we have a lot of middle class families, certainly, who should be doing well, but forego having medical insurance because it has gotten so astronomically expensive. And they're not rich. These are people who, you know, certainly, yeah, I guess they don't have to live paycheck to paycheck, but they're paying insane amounts of money that they should not be paying.
You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that, right? I mean, health expenses have been growing in this country forever. Long ago, 17 years ago, we passed the Affordable Care Act, which had the virtue of covering 20 million people. It gave, that's largely being undone in this bill that we're talking about, but it gave health insurance, affordable health insurance, to about 20 million people through Medicaid expansion and through the Affordable Care Act plans. Now those are going away, right? And but you're absolutely right. One of the reasons it's so hard for Americans to get good coverage is because the health industry in general is just so bloated and so expensive. But again, taking 17 million people off of their Medicaid or off of their Affordable Care Act plans, you got to think about what's going to happen there, right? You just know this as a person and as a parent, right? If you don't have access to preventative care, if your kid can't get that annual checkup, that kid or you are going to get sick. And now you've got no options but to wait till you get really sick and show up in an emergency room. So this is actually going to make things worse. Coming back to why, I watched this really closely. I actually had to cancel a family vacation to get back to Washington to vote for this thing. This was President Trump's agenda. Every Republican was saying this is President Trump's agenda. And it has two things: maintaining those tax cuts, which again benefit far, far, far more the top 1% of this population than they do the bottom 50%, and gutting the clean energy programs, which we haven't even talked about. Those were the two kind of policy objectives. The byproduct along the way was the tragedy that we're talking about in terms of health insurance and just a massive expansion of the debt, right? This bill is estimated over 10 years to cost something like $3 to $4 trillion, right? This is why this was an easy no for me. If you're kicking people off their health insurance, if you're stopping all the clean energy work that we've done in the last couple of years to try to be the country that leads on clean energy and batteries and the industries of the future, and you're blowing a major hole in the deficit and the debt, I'm right where you are. Why in God's name would you vote for this thing?
And we are back with Congressman Himes talking about Medicaid cuts and what it will really mean. It looks like the people losing Medicaid coverage, it doesn't include those who are disabled, people who have children, the elderly. It sounds like these are cuts really for people who are able to work at least 20 hours a week or more. And that accounts for about 14 million of the 17 million we're talking about. I'm not excluding those who aren't in that category, but it sounds like the majority are those who are able to work. And it sounds like this is really to have work requirements like any other federal benefit program would. I wonder why that's not something that's also included when we're talking about this. I mean, that has to be a huge reason for why this is happening. I mean, we can't deny that this system has been abused a lot.
Well, so most of the abuse in the healthcare system, Melissa, is actually not individuals saying, I want to go sign up for Medicaid even though I'm not entitled to. That's very, very rare. The abuse, if you want to go, and by the way, whole other conversation, politicians who tell you that they can fix deficits and make everything sustainable for waste through stopping waste, fraud, and abuse are lying to you. I've been saying that for a decade and a half right now, because what it does is it keeps you from having to grapple with hard things. But let's set that aside for just one second and say, work requirements have been tried in a couple of states. The state of Arkansas tried work requirements. What they found was the system of you lose your job, as lots of people do, and now all of a sudden you're not working. So you've got to report your status to the state Medicaid authorities. Remember, Medicaid is a shared program. It's administered by the states with a lot of federal money. Now you need to report that change in status to the state authorities. And then you get a part-time job the next month working at Starbucks or whatever. Now you need to report that. It's a massive bureaucratic hurdle to solve a problem which, doesn't really exist in terms of individual fraud. Now, if you want to talk talk about Medicare, you know, doctors who are making up, and, you know, there's cases in Florida where, you know, guys have robbed tens of millions of dollars from the Medicare system, claiming that they provided services that they never did. But with Medicaid here, you're trying to solve a problem that doesn't really exist. And you know, again, the state of Arkansas tried this, and what they found was that it didn't really save them any money because of the amount of documentation and information that people needed to provide to the state. I mean, imagine going to the DMV every single, you know, every 2 weeks, every 4 weeks to recertify your status. The point is, though, and look, I understand that the idea of work requirements are appealing, right? You know, Americans don't support these Medicaid cuts, but when you tell them, well, what about work requirements, they sort of perk up. But bottom line is that you're going to have 17 million people, I keep saying this, who, you know, whether you think they deserve Medicaid or not, now aren't going to have access to health care, right? And that's going to have an effect on them, and we're going to end up ponying up a lot more money because these folks are going to turn up, you know, with very serious conditions in emergency rooms. They won't have a dime to pay those hospitals, and that's going to put huge pressure on the hospitals and on the insurance premiums, because the way hospitals get their money back when somebody shows up in the emergency room with something that they don't get paid for is by hiking the cost to everybody else who does have insurance. So, again, that's why I think this is a bad idea and is going to create a lot of pain out there for people.
Congressman Himes, I know we've run out of time. I could totally talk about this for well over, you know, 15 minutes, but I appreciate you at least starting the conversation here.
Thanks so much, Melissa. Let me, you know, you said something really interesting, which it's really hard as a journalist because, you know, we do live in a world of different, you know, different facts for different people of different political parties. Here's my question for you, or my suggestion. Ask a doctor about this. Ask a nurse about this. Ask somebody who works at the hospital or at the local health center what these cuts are going to do to the health care provided in their communities. Don't take it from a Republican or a Democrat. Ask a nurse and see what you hear.
To be honest, Congressman Himes, that's probably one of the biggest issues we find is that, much like myself, I mean, already just in the commercial break, I had people calling in saying, you know, oh, you're not asking tough enough questions. And it's like, you can't have conversations about people feeling like you're then ending up in one political party or another. I've made it super clear and over the 6 years I've been on this show that I am not of any political party, true in my personal and professional life. But if you try to get a doctor on, you try to get anybody to come on to talk about it, they also don't want to end up in those buckets.
That's why don't take it from a political person. Just, you know, everybody's got a cousin who's a nurse or, you know, somebody who they know who works at the local hospital. Ask them.
I don't know if they'd go on the record, though. That's what I find. More and more, I don't know if they'll go on the record. But Congressman Himes, I do appreciate you coming on and having this conversation. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Melissa. Thank you.